Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It does seem like a huge benefit right now, Johnny, if you've got goalies that you don't have to worry about, because there's so many fires going on throughout the league at that position.
Yeah, big time, guys. And I mean, I think like being able to have potentially two goalies gives you at least a little margin for error, whether it's injury, whether it's inconsistency, that you have another guy you can turn to, because we've seen really good teams. Rangers are a good team. Florida's a good team. Like, you don't get the goaltending, you don't win. Flat out, L.A. has pretty good underlying numbers. Their goalies have not been very good. Like, and it's so hard to predict, so maybe it almost made sense why Kyle Dubas rolled the dice on two guys who both could be good, but were a little bit unproven or coming off different situations, because now they have two guys that they can turn to, and if one guy stumbles, the other guy is there. And I was saying, I think it's really important that they both kind of stay healthy for a little bit, because neither guy has shown the ability to play 60 games. So you got to get rest. Yeah. And I don't know if there's a 1A, 1B. I think they almost literally might just swap every other start for the time being. Keep them both fresh. Keep them both healthy, mentally, physically, and everything else. And give them their best chance to be good for a long stretch.
So, Johnny, what the hell do you do in Edmonton where you can't put a goalie in the net and not have five go in? Like, how do you get one of them back on track? That's got to be awfully concerning.
Well, Skinner's
big time. Yeah, I think Skinner is the guy. I think that's where they go to. Skinner's got like a 914. He didn't play great a couple nights ago against Chicago, but generally speaking, he's been more than fine. But the guy you were counting on, the guy you gave the term and the money for, the guy that was going to give you the consistent goaltending that you're so frustrated from the inconsistency of Koskinen and Smith, you went and got him, and he's just not gotten it done. And I think, you know, we feel bad for Jack. You know, he cares. You know, he wants to be good, but he's continued on his second half of last year at the Leafs where he's just not stopped enough pucks. So, I think at this point, you turn the reins over and say, it's Stuart Skinner is the number one guy, and Jack Campbell is the number two, and he'll try to work on his game and practice and rest and video and get it right, because at some point, one, you need the better goaltender, and two, you got to put the guy in the net that gives you the best chance of winning. The guys, like, as much as everyone likes Jack Campbell, it doesn't have to be Jack, it could be anybody. If you keep playing the guy who everyone knows is not playing as well, it's almost, you lose the room. He's almost disrespectful to the guys. You're like, hang on, like, we get that he has a contract, but at some point, give us the guy who gives us a chance while the other guy figures it out wherever he has to go to figure it out. You got to give us the guy who's playing better.
I agree. I think it's a situation where he needs a reset, and they don't have, like, now the league is so tight, you don't have this margin for reset. You got to go with who's playing well. There's three goalies out west that are paid to be number ones, and their backups are outperforming them. Vladar in Calgary, it's Skinner in Edmonton, and it's Spencer Martin. Now, unfortunately, in Vancouver, and unfortunately, you know, Demko got injured last night right at the end of the first period, so he might be out. I didn't read today an update on him, but I think he might be out for a couple of weeks, and Martin's going to have to carry the load there in Van, and I don't even know what's going to happen in Van here. I get a sense that something's coming there. I don't know how you feel about it, Johnny.
Yeah, at some point, I mean, the conversation has been so pointed already. I mean, it feels like we're 6 months into a season that they are 6 weeks into, given the twists and turns, bad start, calling out the coach, the preparation, all of it. I think, though, you know, I don't know if Bruce Boudreau is the answer. I think they would be looking at player transactions. Like, I think they got to figure out if they're signing Bo Horvat. If they're signing Bo Horvat, then they're trading JT Miller. Like, I think that's how. Like, I think that's the equation. If they're not signing, like, if they're not going to be able to sign Bo Horvat, they're going to trade him. And then see if they can trade some defensemen as well. But I'm with you. I think they are in that awful spot, that muddy middle. They're going to finish 11th, not good enough to have good odds on the draft, but not nearly good enough to even make the playoffs or threaten if they were to get there. And that's the worst spot for any team to be in. They're going to be there. And it looks like they're kind of locked in with their personnel into being in that position for the next few years.
Johnny, we were talking about Nick Robertson and him going back into the lineup with Jan Kruk coming out. He's an interesting kind of case study because he looks ultra-skilled, but it's not translating. What has to happen there for this to, you know, to flip the switch and there be productivity and trust amongst the coaches?
I think, so it's interesting because if he goes back in and plays with Marner and Tavares, like, I mean, he's going in with, like, the hottest guy in the league virtually, so you're not going to get a better chance than playing with these guys, like an offensive look with an offensive player. I think there's two parts of it, though. Obviously, I think, you know, you got to be reliable enough defensively where you're not making misreads and bad decisions and be good enough defensively. But what's surprising about Nick Robertson is that I don't think it's just the defensive side of the puck that has prevented him from playing regularly. For as good as he was in the preseason, and he was great, when he's played, he has done very little in offensive generation. Like his shots, his passes, his chances, his shot assists, all these different metrics that you would say, okay, is this guy helping create offense? Which you would assume, if he's playing in the top six, he would be able to do. He hasn't done. So it's really both sides, though. You mentioned it. Like, I think he's got to go in there and help create. Like, that's what he does. Like, that's what he's, if he's going to be in the NHL, that's what he's got to be. And so that's what he has to show, as much as, you know, being good defensively and reliable. I think he also needs to show more offensively as far as just being creative with his line to get a regular run.
Well, how about his brother? Jason Robertson had three again last night. He's got 22 goals in 24 games.
And Mitch Marner's been so hot. He's one game behind him. He has points in 17 straight. It's insane.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy. I mean, this is it's Matthews all over. Like I said earlier, what Matthews did at the back end of the season last year is what Robertson's doing at the beginning of the year. And I don't know if this could keep up. I mean, he's obviously not going to score seven plus
goals. He's got these little, back-footed, wrist shots that are going in from everywhere. It's outrageous.
One from behind the net yesterday. Like, everything he touches seemed to find the back of the net.
Right, but it's already reached a point where 24 games in, if he doesn't score 50-plus, it would be a shock, wouldn't it, Johnny?
I mean, you think he's got to go 30 for the next 60? That seems to be more than doable, given what he's doing. But I'm curious. Listen, you're a great goal scorer. I look at Robertson, and I'm thinking, so his head, obviously elite. His hand, obviously elite. But, physically, he doesn't have the best shot. He can't. He's an awful-looking skater, quite frankly. I'm wondering, how is this guy doing it? And yet every single night he is. I mean, you're the goal scorer. When you see him, you're like, okay, how does this guy score so much?
Dude, I'm watching the highlights, and I'm like, he obviously has got a great mind. He thinks very well, and he's ultra-skilled. But I just watched the shots, and they're perfectly placed, but it's not like you're watching that and you're saying, oh, my God, what a shot. But they're like, it almost looks like a standard wrister from, the top of the dots, and every one of them goes in. I'm like, how the hell is this going in?
But I was looking at it last night, and there's great camera angles. I think this guy thinks the puck into the net because he knows Hintz is there, Roope Hintz or whatever, and he picks
the
corner.
Einstein of hockey right now, Noodles.
That's what I'm saying.
What he's doing.
Because they're perfectly placed. They're not, a hope shot towards the middle of the net. Like it is, I'm going to step in the middle of the ice. I know I've got a screen. I know that the goaltender's probably just going to butterfly. I put it 13 inches right above the right pad, off the post and in. There was two goals, exactly the same shot last night, where a screen, and he finds the back. And then, that's a perfect shot. It's not how hard you shoot it. It's where you place it. And I think that's what this guy is elite at.
Yeah, he's figured that out, I'd say. And, I mean, what can you say? The guy's stats are off the chart. He had 41 a year ago. It's not like this. Right. Not like he had 8 goals last season. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been an elite player since he stepped into the league. But this is he's got to be, I think if the Hart were to be handed out tonight, he'd probably win it, you'd think, the way he's going.
I think so, right? I mean, because also Dallas is sort of overachieving. I don't know how many people had Dallas, being the top of their division or whatever it might be, given some of the changes they made last year. So, he would be, it's him and McDavid, 1-2. I don't know how it's hard to pick ever against McDavid, but that's, I think, absolutely where the voting would go to, given what's happened so far this year. He's unbelievable. I watch him, and he's so crafty. But it's crafty can only take you so far, right? Like, you think defenses, goaltenders would figure out crafty, but so far it's been his whole career, really. He's basically a point-a-game player his rookie year, last year 40. Nobody has, and I guess we should probably think nobody really will anytime soon.
Where did you have the Seattle Kraken on your bingo card, Johnny?
Lower than they're at right now. My goodness, yeah, absolutely. And I certainly didn't think they were going to get there scoring a ton of goals, right? Like, if they're going to get it done, it would be because Grubauer bounces back. I did not think it's going to be because Martin Jones has been their number one goaltender, and they'd have, 8 guys on pace for 20, 25 goals. I just didn't see this one coming. Fun to watch, though. Matty Beniers has been really good. Barkowski is an underrated addition. and lost for Colorado to Seattle, because that guy just kind of goes out there and scores you 25, kind of no maintenance, and just does his thing. And I think they've taken advantage. But the Pacific is completely upside down. Like, we thought Edmonton, Calgary, two-horse race for home ice, but they're so much better than everyone else. And then it's, you know, L.A. and Vegas were going to battle for third and maybe a fourth spot. But Seattle looks like they're legit. That home building is rocking and rolling. But it's their goal-scoring noodles that has caught me off guard. I didn't see this volume coming this year.
No, I mean, they've been lights out. That's probably the story of the season, I would think, is Seattle, considering how bad they were last year, their first year. Yeah. And now they're kind of picking up on the Vegas vibes, you know, Vegas' inaugural season. Like, it's, I don't know if it's a feel-good story because Vegas did it, and it's almost like that's what we were expecting out of Seattle. But full credit to them, because they're off to a great, great start. With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, the Leafs are in Tampa tomorrow. Is Tampa, like, until they're out in the first round, are they always the litmus test? Like, is it? Could you picture Tampa looking at the Leafs as the litmus test, or is it always going to be a one-way street where they're the champs, even though they didn't win last year, but they went to another cup final, and they're always the barometer until basically they play themselves out of that position?
Yeah, I will play word games. I mean, I don't think Tampa will look at anyone as a litmus test, but I think Tampa would look at Toronto when it would get their attention. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be one of those ones where Tampa's had so much success, there's probably some games like, yeah, we're going to go play Philly from last night. Let's just go play, get Samaras 1,000 points and move along. I don't think they would look at Toronto that way. I think they know they're very good. In fact, the last couple of years, Toronto's played really quite well against Tampa. Some of Toronto's best regular season games have been against the Lightning. So I do think there is a healthy respect there. I don't think there's any fear, because, of course, Tampa should fear nobody. And hopefully for Toronto, like, I know they're trying to get to where Tampa is postseason, but as far as, like, matching up against them, I don't think they should fear what Tampa does either this year. They're a little short-staffed. Cirelli's not there. Hedman, if you've watched Tampa or paid attention, I know Tampa's winning a lot of games now, but Victor Hedman, who has been the picture of stability and consistency, he's had a tough start. He's been nowhere near as good as he has been in years past this year so far. So I'll be curious to watch tomorrow night and kind of see how that game shakes out. But I think both teams will get each other's attention and respect because they know the other team is good.
I think they might get Cirelli back. I don't know if you're reading that, but like, even when I was there, what was it, a couple weeks ago, Cirelli was skating just in a, you know, kind of a non-contact jersey. But, you know, with them putting Philip Myers on waivers today, it looks like they're clearing a spot. Like, I wonder if Cirelli is going to show up against the Leafs tomorrow night.
He changes that team big time, but having, you know, in his absence, I got to give Nick Paul credit. Nick Paul, who, you know, he was traded down there. He played well in the playoffs. Like, you don't have to have that many great moments when they don't expect them out of you to kind of feel like you're doing a ton, but he's
got
11
goals now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and he stepped in and he's been really, really good this year. Oh, and so if Cirelli gets back, all of a sudden if Nick Paul's on your third line, now your third line looks a little bit better. You know what I mean? Whereas before it was like your first line's great. Second line, you're hopeful. Third line, you're holding your breath. So those return and the kind of, you know, slotting of everyone more appropriately. Point Cirelli if Paul plays in the middle of the third line. Now your depth looks much better. But Nick Paul has played well in Cirelli's absence.
That's a bogey on Ottawa, letting that one slip through their fingers
for $3 million a year.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, that's a guy that's just a bogey any way you look at it.
Well, the thing is, it's a lateral move, right? Like, who do you want, Nick Paul or Matthew Joseph? Because Matthew Joseph just signed 4 years, $12 million, like essentially the same dollar value. Now
That's why I said it's a bogey, because Paul would be the guy.
I'm agreeing with you because you've basically replaced a similar kind of player for a similar kind of money. But Nick Paul was a guy who loved Ottawa, wanted to stay there, was very versatile, and probably, I guess, apparently has more offensive game than you think, and maybe more than Matthew Joseph. So, if they could redo that one, they might have another think about it.
Well, and you throw in, Johnny, that Nick Paul's, what, 6'4"? Big, big body. Like, just sometimes you like a different look from different, you know, there's a lot of teams that have the same look on same line, right? Like, Nick Paul is you know, different because he is a big body that can get there. And, you know, I don't know what you heard around Ottawa, but it sounded like they weren't that far away on a deal.
That's again why it's a bogey. And it's like when guys are wanting 6 and 7, it seems like the numbers are always 6, 7, 8, and this guy was like three something. I don't know. That's maybe a double bogey, not just a bogey.
Well, you know what? Comparable situation, I wonder. Oh, so it was term noodles. They basically agreed on money, and Paul won 5 years, and Ottawa was holding firm on four. He ends up having a great playoff and gets seven.
Right.
Matthew Joseph got four. But I wonder, though, like Michael Bunting might be a similar situation, right? He's had some great moments, not going to score at the pace he did last year, right now this year. He would probably take a hometown guy who wants to be in Toronto. Like, you know, is he worth 7 years? $3 million? Like, and that kind of conversation, there's no easy answer. You love what he does, but, you know, what would that contract look like for Michael Bunting on term and on dollar? Because, you know, he's one of those guys, like, he probably would love the term at a lower dollar value if you're comfortable with it.
Right. Yeah, it does feel kind of like the Leafs will say, this is the dollar amount we're going to. Like, this is it. So you tell me what you're comfortable with on years, and right. Then that's where the negotiation will start, I would assume, because there's only so much wiggle room you can have. You know, I think they'd want to keep Bunting, but let's say it is $3.5-4 million. He might say that's got to be 7 years. I got to be here long term. It's got to over the course of a full contract. I got to make a lot more money. But
what's he get on the open market, Michael Bunting? If we're playing this thought up, let's say UFA anywhere, anytime. Does he get $5 million somewhere? I'm not sure he does.
That's where I go, guys, because you know what? Him playing away from Matthews and we'll say Marner and Nylander. Lot different player, and obviously everybody would be a lot different player, but there's been times where they threw him down and gave him a little jolt on that third line. Looks a lot different when you're not, you know, getting the puck to 34 and he's ripping it home. Like your production drops, and he's a good player, he's a nice player, but I think he has to understand his situation. Grass may not be greener. It may look more a lot like Arizona where you came from, as opposed to the situation we have now.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure that'll be the sales pitch for the Leafs. You know, I mean, we'll see. All right, Johnny, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Hayes, glad to see you're healthy on a Friday. Good to hear, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Your voice.
I'm grinding.
All right.
I appreciate it.
And have a great weekend. I hope I can talk to you Monday. Hope you're okay.
Thank you, pal. I'll let you know.
Okay.
It's 50-50.
Thank you.
Big game time decision. Here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota.
Just a shot.
I know, man. I'm taking a lot of heat this week.
Never a Wednesday, never a Tuesday, always a Friday or a Monday.
No. How can you take heat when all you did, like, I think you were, like, delusional on Tuesday, like, as far as sick, and you fought through it.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately.
You're not getting enough credit for that, I'll admit that.
Legitimately, Tuesday, I can't tell you how horrible I felt the second I walked up those stairs. That was a grind.
That was your black eye game scoring in overtime.
Yes.
That was yours. Yeah,
that was the equivalent for me. I left everything on the mic. On Tuesday. Everything I had. I don't know if it sounded any good. I don't know if it was worth the listen or the watch or the follow, but hopefully it was. The Bills laid a beating on the Patriots last night. Marcellus Wiley will join us to break that down and look ahead to some other games this weekend, including the return of Deshaun Watson back to Houston. That and more coming up with Marcellus Wiley. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.